It's Morning Edition on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Marshall Terry. Sometimes you can judge the legend of someone by how much they're discussed after they die. It's been 13 years since the death of Nina Simone, who grew up west of Charlotte in Tryon, before achieving worldwide fame as the High Priestess of Soul.
I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
Simone still generates plenty of discussion. A documentary on her life premiered at the Sundance Film Festival, and a movie titled Nina debuts April 22nd. It's received a lot of attention and criticism, even though it will only be available in limited release and on demand. At issue is the actress cast to portray Simone. WFAE's Gwendolyn Glenn will have more on that in a few minutes. First, we hear from Davidson College professor Brenda Flanagan. Flanagan got to know Simone as a nanny and personal assistant. Flanagan was 19 when she arrived in the U.S. from Trinidad in 1967. One of her first stops was a Harlem employment agency.
There, at that agency, I was asked if I knew Nina Simone. And it just so happened I could say yes, absolutely, because Nina Simone had just been in Trinidad. Unfortunately, I hadn't been able to attend her concert. And so, because I was saving my money to come to America. In fact, when I got here, I had only $10 in my hand. And so she said, well, Nina is recording down at RCA Victor Studios, and she needs someone to take care of her little girl, Lisa.
Flanagan jumped at the opportunity. She soon moved in with Simone and her family in Mount Vernon, New York, and she would often hear Simone and her band practicing. She particularly remembers them working on To Be Young, Gifted, and Black, which became an anthem for young African Americans after it was released 2 years later.
To be young, gifted, and black.
Open your heart to what I mean.
She practiced that and practiced that and practiced that. And she was very strict. And very commanding, and she said, stop! I think some of the musicians were probably a little bit afraid of her. She knew what she wanted. She knew music because, of course, Nina Simone wanted to be a classical pianist. And she was an extraordinary pianist that she's remembered for her as being a singer. It's kind of odd and ironic because what she wanted to be from childhood was to be a classical pianist.
Flanagan only worked for Simone for about 6 months, but says the experience helped shape her life. She says Simone instilled a sense of pride in being a black person and encouraged her dream of becoming a writer, and also introduced her to the work of African-American authors. Today, Flanagan is a tenured professor at Davidson, teaching creative writing and African-American literature. She's also working on a book about her experience with Simone. The title is named after one of her favorite Simone songs, Mississippi Goddamn.
Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn.
Nina Simone was passionate about being black. She was a powerful voice against discrimination and helped define the Black is Beautiful movement. So controversy exploded when Zoe Saldana, a light-skinned black Latina, was cast to portray Simone in the movie Nina. WFAE's Gwendolyn Glenn talks to two scholars with differing views about the casting controversy.
Horrified is how Lanita Jacobs says she felt when she learned Zoe Saldana landed the role of Nina Simone. Jacobs teaches American Studies and Ethnicity at the University of Southern California and lectures about the portrayal of African Americans in film and television.
That is not the kind of choice that represents Nina's music, Nina's legacy, or frankly even Nina's features, which has everything to do with what Nina represented. She was unapologetically black. She was unabashedly black. She advocated about talking about that blackness. That's how she said it. And for her, that meant, you know, the kinky hair. That meant the wide nose. That meant the dark skin, which all of those features so much informed who she was and what she was about and what her music was about.
And have you seen the makeup that they put on her to make her look like Nina Simone, the nose, the darker makeup? Have you seen it?
I have, and it looks like a bad Halloween costume. It was just such a poor mimicry of There's no amount of makeup, you know, that can get you to Nina's blackness. And I definitely think it inflects this history of blackface. Back then, there were very limited roles that black people could play. And black people sometimes willingly blackened their faces, like Burt Williams and others, in order to assume a mask that would allow them entree into Hollywood mainstream. Let's not delude ourselves into believing that Zoe gets picked in part because her star is rising, but also perhaps because her features are in some ways palatable to mainstream audiences.
But what resonates most with poet E. Ethelbert Miller is the fact that a movie was made about Simone at all. Miller, the former director at Howard University's African American Resource Center, says who plays Simone in the movie is not as important as how she will be depicted.
Are they going to get it right? Are they going to get her politics? Also, I think we're more aware of Nina Simone because they had an excellent documentary on her. So people really will go into the theater saying, okay, is this the Nina Simone that I know?
Do you think they got it right in terms of the casting?
You know, you could have somebody that looks exactly like Nina Simone. It's a bad script. You know, to have a script there and doesn't really capture her importance of the civil rights movement and Black Power period, then you're diluting. You know, you talk about color, you might be diluting the movement, which might be worse. What about the only community that, as soon as the movie comes out, there's a big debate about it? And so what happens for people that we love, we want to make sure the movie is does them service and honors them. And anything that's messed up, we're going to have a problem with that. You know, you want to make sure that you put them on the big screen, that you understand the full struggle, the struggle of the individual and the struggle of the race. If not, don't touch it.
Miller thinks too much attention is being placed on Saldana's casting. He believes there are more important discussions to be had and acted on, such as lead in the drinking water in Flint, Michigan. But Jacobs thinks the discussion is important because it's opening up a decades-old wound in the black community where darker-skinned blacks were often treated poorly by whites and lighter-skinned blacks alike.
We're talking about colorism. We're talking about the ways in which people whose skin color was darker than a paperback test could not get access to particular kinds of churches and institutions because they were too black, right? We're talking about a certain kind of light-skinned privilege that harkens back all the way to slavery, where the darker people worked in the field and the lighter-skinned people worked in the house, right? And if you think about the standards of beauty that still exist in the West, they are often predicated on features that look closer to white people's features.
Miller and Jacobs hope the controversy surrounding the Nina Simone movie will get the attention of casting directors and writers in Hollywood, so better casting and script decisions are made regarding African-American movies. But given Hollywood's focus on profits, they're not optimistic anything will change dramatically anytime soon. For WFAE News, I'm Gwendolyn Glenn.